The lady of the house certainly has to plan for her family's future. So immediately she has to start thinking about what she's going to take so the family will survive and thrive in the new world.
So what is she thinking about? What sort of things is she looking at?
Certainly they were packing seeds and tubers for things that they knew would grow or hoped would grow in the new world to provide the family with sustenance. So things like seeds for root vegetables and probably potato tubers. And I would think so, a few floral things, like probably a cutting from a rose that had been grandma's that they could bring along. And maybe dahlias, or depending on what they had in their home gardens, something that would grow in any climate and would hopefully keep for a long time, so that if the growing season was short, something that would produce food. If they had to store for the entire year, so they made sure that even during the winter they could feed the family. So root vegetables were really important because they would keep well.
So are we seeing different things brought over by different ethnic groups?
People from different countries had different foods that they knew when they were in their homeland. So somebody who lived in the Scandinavian countries maybe didn't have quite the excitement in their diet that the Germans and the Polish had, the Italians, people that had more color in their gardens and more variety. So everybody grew turnips and onions and carrots and potatoes. The Germans did a lot more leafy crops, leafy vegetables, greens, also brought in exciting things like purple cabbage, scorzonera, one of the root vegetables. So more variety.
Do we have an idea of what survived and what didn't?
The things that stayed with the families and were the recipes were passed on, we know that certainly then those foods continued to be grown.
So, Carl, talk to me about some of those recipes that survived once they came over.
It really would depend on where you settled, how quickly you Americanized, or how much outside influence there was for you to change. Some of the Germans, just because of the density of the population in Wisconsin, a lot of them didn't change their diets very quickly, where some of the smaller ethnic groups that came in smaller numbers, say the Danes, may have changed a little bit more quickly. Food that was very common in a lot of Europe was seafood. With so much of Europe so close to a seashore, seafood, whether it was fresh cod or dried cod, mussels, things like that, were prevalent. And then coming to the Midwest, well, you could get lake trout and things like that, but that was totally different. But there were always things that were retained, no matter how Americanized you got, like certain cheeses or bakery especially, sweets, holiday favorites usually were retained. May have been very labor intensive, but made that connection with the old country and home more real, even for several generations down the line.
Does what we see on the table during a holiday meal reflect what was available at that time, or do people start prepping for holiday meals in advance?
Oh, a lot of it was prepped well in advance. When you think about having an apple pie for, say, in November, you have to plan that ahead.
Well, some things get better with age. So I was thinking of the citron that we grow in some of the gardens. And if you wanted candied citron that would be added to fruitcake or whatever else, even just candied citron as a garnish, that had to be made in advance and then allowed to sort of mature so it would be ready for the holidays.
Is there a particular holiday dish that identifies or that one group can identify with? Does each group have its own sort of signature dish?
Pretty much all your Norwegians will know what lefse is or krumkaka. Lefse is like a flatbread, and krumkaka is a kind of a rolled cookie, a flat wafer that's made in a special iron, like a waffle iron almost. But when you get to like Germany and some of the larger countries, they have so many regional differences. There aren't a lot of dishes that cross all those regions. And then there are some dishes there are just variations on. Germans know Stollen, a rich yeast bread with dried fruit or nuts in it that's served at Christmas time. Well, a lot of the other ethnic groups have a variation on that. So there are some things that cross and some things that don't.
I understand that you have to make things stretch. What is with all the blood breads?
Well, like blood sausages or blood puddings, all the ethnic groups had them. And a lot of times they were considered more of a specialty dish because you only had them right after you butchered. But then there were some things, yeah, potatoes for one. Oh, my God, they must have just gotten so bored of boiled potatoes all the time.
I think my favorite recipe was it was potatoes, boiled, and then milk added, and then and some flour. This is from your book, Marcia. And then bacon grease.
Yum. Another way to fix potatoes. Right. And turnips were something else that, you know, 101 ways to fix turnips. So they sometimes combined potatoes and turnips. How exciting. Or cabbage with something else. And they added fruit sometimes. Well, no wonder you get tired of same old, same old. So if you had some potatoes in storage and you had some apples, well, you know, somebody said, hey, we could put these two together. Maybe the kids will eat this.